This week, on a very heartfelt episode of The Rogues, Dustin has an issue with Tyler Hoechlin, and we start shipping Penguin and the Riddler.
And now, from the Fortress of Solitude, deep beneath the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, sci-fi4me.com presents The Rogues Gallery.
Welcome, everyone. This edition of The Rogues Gallery in the new studio here. Jason Hunt along with Dustin Adair.
Hello.
And Kendall Sin.
Good evening.
And joining online from Corpus Christi, Texas, Sonia Rodriguez.
Hello.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Ann Labs.
Good evening, America.
From Fort Worth, Texas, Jeff Hackworth.
I'm back from Earth 3, everybody.
And here in Kansas City, Mr. Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
We're loaded tonight. We've got quite a crowd in our little group tonight.
I thought it was just three of us.
I'm gonna feel kind of bad when I talk over all of you.
we have more shows than DC does.
Yeah.
We have more people than DC does shows now.
Although, you know, with five shows, well, six if you count Vixen. I've been looking at the second season of Vixen on CW Seed.
You've been looking at it?
I've been looking at it.
You've been looking at it like you've been watching on the
Telegraph. There's two episodes on, and it's...
Uh-oh.
The first episode, all right?
The exhale has happened.
The first episode, Mari McCabe, Vixen. Uh-huh. Is in the midst of a fight with a guy who can throw fire.
Okay.
Because she's got an amulet that gives her powers. He's got an amulet that gives him fire powers. And then 3 weeks earlier.
It pulls that trope.
Hate that.
When it starts with the action beat and then leads you to what started the action beat three weeks earlier.
Yes. So that's
ends where it began.
Yeah. So we're two episodes into the second season of Vixen. They're releasing them a piece at a time. So we've got a 7 minute episode and a 5 minute episode, and I don't know how long this season is going to be.
37 episodes.
Yeah. So there is Chris Jensen joining along with everyone else. This is going to be such a crowded conversation.
We are a packed house.
We are a packed house.
First of all, before we get into the shows this week, there are a couple of things that I, since I wasn't here last week, but was quoted, I have a few things to add. We got one correction on my comment about, because I'm a stickler for details. Of Runaway Train was a song from the early 90s. Dawson's Creek was a show from the late 90s. So that timeline that he was in did not match up. I only know this because I was a big fan of Soul Asylum. I was also a big fan of Dawson's Creek. Don't judge me.
They only play songs in the year that they were made.
Well, I did actually, to make sure I wasn't wrong, I did go through, I'm sorry, this is embarrassing,
maybe,
but I did go through
rock
the soundtracks of Dawson's Creek, not just the ones that aired on, not just the ones that appeared on their official soundtracks, but because they frequently use songs, you know, obviously in Dawson's Creek, and I wanted to make sure before I, you know, said this, you know, but the song, the music was clearly playing when they walked into...
Into the diner, right.
And Dawson's Creek was clearly on the air, so it did not match up. And also, Runaway Train, I do not believe that I could find, appeared on the show Dawson's Creek. So it's one of those little things. I mean, it's something that I always say, you know, about writing and screenwriting and stuff like that. Don't ever put something, a logic problem in a movie, because it can pull the audience out. It can be something that silly.
I have a question for you, Kendall.
Yes.
When you talk to Sally and you go on rants like this,
yes.
After you're done, does she ever say, God, it's just so good that you're good looking?
She does. She has a couple of times. I one time went on a rant, and this is, again, off DC topic, but it was a Star Wars rant it was when Ahsoka first appeared on Rebels.
It's actually Ahsoka.
When Ahsoka appeared on Rebels, and I went into a tizzy of realization that at some point she was going to face Vader. And I went on this to Sally, who has not watched any of it. I was like, Sally, at some point they're going to confront you. And she just looks at me. I go, Sally, what happens when he calls her Snips? What happens when she calls when he calls her Snips? And she just looks at me. And she's like, father of my children.
Jason can, we're not going to talk about DC tonight. Jason can can attest to this because he was there standing in the background with his hand over his eyes. I worked costume on a movie that he and Tim Harvey produced and wrote and directed and all those things called The Statement of Randolph Carter.
Yeah.
And one of the actors in that film does the voice of Yoda.
Yes, on Clone Wars.
Tom Kane.
Yes.
He also voices our sounders here.
Yes, he actually does the lead-ins.
And I trapped him in a corner, and I said, I want you, next time you get a chance, I want you to ask George Lucas how he's going to fix the Ahsoka problem, because you know she's going to get her throat slit. You know, she's a – and I just like – I went on this tear, and I'm just – and this poor man is standing there. He's like, I don't talk. And I'm like, no. it was bad.
I don't know. I think maybe he's – maybe had – two conversations with George the entire time he's been doing anything with him. Okay, so back to the topic at hand.
Sorry.
DC Since... comic shows. We have five of the – well, we talked about Vixen a little bit. We've got five on the air. In order as they appear on the schedule, we have Gotham, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So which one shall we start with?
We usually go – in order
we usually go in order, but since we've got so many people, we can
just pose it to the peanut gallery.
We can go however, whichever show we want to start with. Where do we want to start? We want to start with Supergirl.
Go in order.
You want to go in order?
I vote that we just talk about Supergirl the entire episode. But that's me.
Okay, so we want to. When do we do Gotham? Well, Gotham and Supergirl are both on Monday. So which one shall we?
Let's do Gotham first.
Get it out of the way.
I continue to enjoy Gotham.
The people over at IO9 are now actively lobbying for Penguin and Enigma to be an item.
I saw that.
I came up with a ship name.
Oh, did they?
I did.
Oh, you did. Oh, you did. What's the ship name?
Couple Pot.
I thought they were going for it in this episode. I really thought they
really did look like they were going to
really
do that.
Did.
What about Riddle Pen?
Riddle Pen's good. Yeah, Riddle Pen's good.
I could actually see that.
But when do they start hating each other's guts?
Well, when a lover is scorned, I'm going to explain to this how it works. When a lover is scorned,
because in Batman 66, they were still getting along, weren't they?
I believe so.
Okay, and we established that this is the prequel to Batman 66, did we not?
We did.
Although...
I don't know if the show did.
That's your headcanon.
In the very beginning of this episode, when they're doing the parade, did you notice how much the music sounded like Danny Elfman's?
It did.
Dave remarked on that, too.
Very much like Elfman. Very Elfman-like. And in a couple of different places where you had these wild, crazy, things going on, and you had the ting, 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 little music box type of sound in there. I was like, this is very much like Elfman. And it got me wondering, maybe we're not looking at a Batman 66 prequel. Maybe we're looking at a Burton-verse prequel, maybe.
I could go with it. Well, I mean, aesthetically, production design-wise, art department-wise, it fits right in. And that's kind of what I always thought they were.
Have you heard the Burtonverse theory that all of the movies, all of the Batman movies pre-Batman Begins are movies about Batman set in the Batman universe. So they're movies about Batman set in a world where Batman exists.
Which is why you get different actors playing Batman.
And
they're just
telling so goofy and over the top. And
That Adam West and Burt Ward are watching.
Burt Ward says that he's ready to be on Gotham.
Yeah.
He's ready to show up.
Yeah. I'm ready to watch him on Gotham.
Just to go back to Ping Pot Cobble Pot or Riddle Ping or whatever it was for a second. Robin Lord Taylor is an out actor.
Oh, really?
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And he's talked openly about how he plays Penguin based on his experiences of having to come out and being, you know,
Nigwin.
An outside.
Nigwin.
Yeah, that could, boy, you're just, talk fast and you could get yourself in trouble
true.
With that
that's
one.
That's true, you could. Right. Yeah.
I still like Couple Pot.
Yeah, but isn't a shipping name supposed to be a combination of the two names that you like?
The two
like
names.
Olicity or Brangelina or whatever. But isn't it funny that our conversation about Gotham has to do with shipping Ed and Penguin and not the actual plot of the show, the episode?
Well, I haven't watched the show since season one, so...
I'm just refreshing myself on it because, like I said, I watched it.
So this
actually,
is this
there's
is the one
a lot of
where
shows in between.
There's
this
the parade
is the one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
This is the one where with the return of the Red Hood gang.
Oh yes. Which
under
was a
the guise of Butch.
A very 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 thin plot.
Yes.
You know, it was one of those like it was one of those things where it's like, how is he not busted? Like this would be the easy. How are you guys criminal masterminds and you can't figure out what's going on?
I would have liked to see if they were going to play this out that Butch was coordinating a new Red Hood gang in order to, you know, save the day and be the hero and get back in Penguin's good graces. I would have liked to have seen this play out two or three different episodes.
I would have liked to have seen this be
not
a little bit longer game.
Hour.
Yeah. Okay. Just a little bit longer of a storyline there.
Yeah.
And because something that the show is really missing, and something that a lot of our shows are missing, is a sense of mystery. Mm. There is no ongoing mystery. I mean, the biggest mystery we have right now is like, what's the clone doing? You know, and our biggest mystery is just like, when is Bruce Wayne going to put on the cape and cowl?
No, it's Jim
and
Gordon.
About
yeah, we know.
Baby.
Like we believe.
Yeah, where's
it's Jim
the baby?
Gordon.
The baby's gone. There is no baby. The baby's gone.
She lost the baby.
She
where
lost
did
the baby.
She put it?
No,
she
lost
put
it.
It's on
gone.
The train.
Has anyone checked behind
it.
The couch?
Look in the fridge. I always lose things in the. I always find my keys in the fridge. I don't know why.
I said this last week. Miranda Backer. The only reason that there was a pregnancy even in the show is because Miranda Backer got pregnant.
Right.
And now that she's not pregnant, she delivered the baby. The baby's fine, as far as I know. And you know, now that the actor doesn't have the baby, then the character doesn't need the baby.
Right.
And so the you know, producers dump the baby as soon as possible because it's a story hazard. You have to take all of your story and work around the baby.
Friends didn't do it like six times.
Right.
But Ross
I
was
know
a
she had
but
that baby and then you never saw it.
Yeah, but if you acknowledge
Parks and Rec, time jumped.
Either way, so do you think that they're ever gonna come back to the baby?
No.
Okay.
No, baby's gone.
Let's nick the baby. Baby's
gone. I will say that for an example of a drama with a baby, The Walking Dead uses Judith extremely well. Like that baby shows up when it is like super important. You've got to make sure the baby isn't eaten by a zombie. And then and then she gets handed to a little old lady and they walk her out of the room. And it's great. It's like, oh, yes, there's a baby here. And you can kind of help you track the timeline of the show. So there are ways to put a baby
there
in.
There are ways you can do it, yeah. But the fact that you have – if you establish that there's a baby in the story – then you have to have stuff to do with that baby.
And unfortunately,
you've got to incorporate the baby into the story somehow.
I don't think we're ever going to. They're just like, hey, we've only got about 16 episodes left. Yeah. We got to wrap up some stuff.
Yeah.
How bad was it that Barbara and Tabitha, of all people, figured out that Butch was the
Well, and that goes back to Kendall's point that it was way too easy to figure out that Butch was out because Nigma figured it out too. Everybody figured it out except Cobblepot.
Yeah, and I was just like waiting for everybody to show up. You know, it's just like, oh, Catwoman shows up, Bruce Wayne shows up, everybody shows up.
Ivy was there.
Everybody shows up and knows.
Am I the only one who thinks clone Bruce is a lot more charismatic and interesting than the real one?
Probably.
I missed the clone.
Brian, you're the only one. Because I get them. I you know, they're the same one to me.
Meh.
Well, and
to me,
it was funny because on the scene on the rooftop where Selena calls him out for, you know, she's like, "You're boring.
Yeah.
Have you ever dated a girl before? Because you know this isn't working."
He was so awkward with her.
He was.
Yeah.
He was. You could tell he likes her.
And then after the kiss, he was like, "Wait, so are you? Do you like me?"
He's even. More
I have
confused.
This strange sensation.
Which
I need to talk to Alfred.
I have to go. My parents are dead.
When she says, "Rule number one: don't ever tell me what to do." I thought, "Oh, here we go. The rules. It's starting already." And they're not even married yet.
Okay. And that's Gotham.
And that's Gotham. Ta-da! Well, okay, so our takeaways are Butch is now on the run with Tabitha.
Yes.
Yay.
Jim Gordon is still
completely
worthless.
Good job, Butch.
Yeah.
I got to say, good job.
Enigma and Cobblepot are going to be a thing.
Yeah, that's coming.
Barbara's still crazy.
But I like Crazy Barbara so much more than I liked original Barbara. I like her a lot better as Crazy.
Wow.
Oh wait, we forgot to talk about Captain Barnes.
Captain Barnes.
Oh yeah. Oh, infected. So he's going to become Bane, right?
I was thinking either Killer Croc or.
Didn't
Clayface.
You say last week Clayface?
Well, there it's Clayface, Killer Croc. I haven't heard the Bane theory yet, but Bane might be another possibility. But I don't know how likely that is. But yeah, Killer Croc and Clayface are the top two contenders for what he's going to turn into. It has been confirmed.
There are so many good actors slumming it in Gotham. I gotta say, I really do. I mean, I'm a Chiklis fan, you know, and it's just so funny to see that he hasn't really gotten a chance to do like any actual acting other than, you know, overacting,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you know, there was that moment where I reminded he got up and walked without his cane, and then there was that realization, and you briefly saw the man from the shield. You know, and you're just like, there he is.
It's
there's
funny,
that actor.
I just realized this is his third superhero series.
Oh, including the Fantastic Four.
Including the Fantastic Four. You consider
and
Fantastic
no ordinary
War,
family.
No ordinary,
War,
family. No ordinary family. Which I enjoyed.
Now this.
I enjoyed No Ordinary Family.
Oh, that was a great show.
That was a fun show.
Yeah, it was fun.
You think he's ever going to get a superhero show that's actually good?
I don't know.
I mean, Fantastic Four was good.
I
like Fantastic.
I don't like to admit it, even though I admitted I watched Dawson's Creek. I don't like to admit it, but I like the Fantastic Four movies. So I'm both in theaters.
Those two, yeah. But yeah, I didn't see either of them in theaters, but I've seen them both on TBS, and this was an engaging afternoon.
That was back before I had children and watched movies in theaters.
Yeah, they were much better than Josh Trank's.
Which I have not seen.
I feel bad for Josh Trank.
Terrible.
He lost Star Wars.
I know.
But he was
alleged
put
behavior.
He was put in a very difficult situation.
Well, I think there was that, but I think also, you know, you get some wet behind the ears kid who makes a movie like Chronicle,
mm-hmm.
and it's a sudden huge big superstar blockbuster hit, and suddenly he's the bee's knees and he's mm-hmm. butter on bread, and everybody wants to work with him, and now he's a star, and it goes to his head.
Yeah, there the Gareth Edwards of the world are few and far between.
Yeah.
You know, or the Colin Tremonoff, who honestly I don't
really
know.
Well, it's funny. I was reading an interview with Colin Trevorrow about Jurassic World,
uh-huh.
and the whole time he's sitting there talking about how terribly frightened he was.
Oh yeah,
about this whole project.
So he went into
so
it with
massive,
and he went in, and I'm sure because of that, he went in with a considerable amount of humility.
And he said he pretended he directed that movie as if he were Colin Trevorrow with 20 years of experience. He faked it the whole way through.
But I have to say, I did not like Jurassic World. I watched it, and then like my son saw that I had rented it, and he was like, "Oh, can I watch Jurassic World?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Is it too violent?" And I was like, "No, it's not any good. You can watch the first one."
You go watch Laura Dern, and you'll like it.
Speaking of dinosaurs, we had one on Legends of Tomorrow. We'll get to that here in just a second, but we're still on Monday. Let's talk Supergirl. Superman.
No. I will fight you, Jason.
What do you have against Tyler Hoechlin as Superman?
Somebody has something against Tyler Hoechlin?
No, he has an issue because he's too good.
He has an issue, but what is the issue?
He's just so good.
Why is that an issue?
So good, and it's like it's so perfect. It's like the perfect Clark Kent and like the perfect Superman, and the dichotomy between the person of Superman and the person of Clark Kent is so good. And Tyler Hoechlin has got the beautiful face and that apple bottom that is just like you can't even. How do you even?
Why is that an issue?
Because I just know.
Because he doesn't want it to happen. You don't want you. Well, no. The thing is, and anyone who listens to the show knows that Dustin's main concern is that this stops being a Supergirl show,
right?
And he doesn't want it taken over. He doesn't want it Sheldon Coopered,
right?
Well, okay. Now,
let me
address that real quick, because the producer there, I think it was either Guggenheim. I think it was Guggenheim in an interview said that DC let them have Superman for 2 episodes, and that's it. He's done. And the reason why, some speculate, that the reason why we got Superman in the first 2 episodes was for the ratings.
Yeah.
Because it changed the networks. Transition. Changed networks, and they want to make sure that they get a big audience and a big success at the very beginning. So let's add Superman, and now he's in, and now two episodes, and he's done.
Well, that's good.
Do you honestly think they're never going to bring him back?
No, they'll bring him back.
They'll bring him back, but it's...
Sure they will.
But it's a special... It was like Constantine on Arrow. It's a one-and-done thing. Mm-hmm. With Superman, 2 episodes, and you're done. It's going to be one of those case-by-case, pay-as-you-go type of situations.
But now I want it so badly.
And here's another thing that's really bad for me. And I got in a fight, a friendly argument with somebody on Twitter about this.
So I'll fight.
No, but because we were agreeing with each other, except for, you know, it makes me hate Henry Cavill even more in that role.
That's fair. No. That is totally fair.
I gotta say though, I mean that article that we posted, there was something that was comparing the two performances between Hoechlin and Cavill, and it convinces me even more, because Henry Cavill has been in other things,
and Man he's from Uncle.
Actually oh, acted Man from in Uncle other
is
things.
So good,
is it?
Which means that it's really good. Boring, dull, stiff as a board Superman
and Clark Kent. Don't forget Clark Kent's part of it.
Zack Snyder,
right?
Don't forget Clark Kent's part of it. Snyder.
Yes, and so that's even more evidence that Zack Snyder should never touch.
It literally makes me feel bad for the movies because of how, and I want to find a flaw, like when I'm watching the shows now, because I feel like I like Supergirl too much, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sitting there watching it and I'm just like, this isn't really, you know, it's like, you know, cause it's like, I, you know, these shows that we watch, you know, it's like, these are not groundbreaking shows that will, you know, be, these are the shows that change television, you know? So it's like you try to fill your brain with as much high art as you can, but so I'm just looking for a fault. And then when I watch Supergirl...
Wait, where on TV are you going to find high art?
Fargo. Fargo is the best show. Well, how did nobody know?
There's lots of high art.
There's lots of high art.
Mr. Robot?
I have to disagree with you. I think that Supergirl is one of those shows.
And that's what I keep coming back to, is I go into the show and I want to find flaws. But then, how do you pronounce her name? Melissa Benoist?
Melissa Benoist, yes.
Benoist.
Opens her darn mouth and flashes her eyes, and I'm just like, she is amazing.
And
she is a national treasure.
This is a show, not only is she amazing in this role, this is a show where it has female characters that are all individual agents. With their own agency. Yeah. None of these women are backbiting or backstabbing each other. They all are there to
working
support
together.
Each
the show,
other.
The show is about family.
Yeah. It is the, I mean.
When her sister this week talked about.
Oh my God.
She changed her entire life so that she would always be able to look after her. Yeah. I was like, snap. There it is. Mm-hmm. And that's right. I made a lot of 90s references today. I'm going to say snap. but anyway, so I truly, honestly, just love all the characters, and I was very, very concerned, and I'm so happy they nipped it in the bud. First episode, the relationship thing.
With Jimmy Olsen.
Yes. Because yes. I was like, I just don't turn this into a relationship drama.
And we talked about this during the first season. That whole relationship felt forced to begin with anyway, because it was, you know, it's on CBS. We got to have a love triangle.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
CW can get away with – CW doesn't – CW don't give any.
I think CW has Mark Pedowitz knows enough about how all of this stuff is working now that he will give Greg Berlanti more room to do his thing than CBS would have.
Mm-hmm. And it's still, I mean, I know that I'm sure that show has a very, very large female audience. Mm-hmm. And I think what they realize is, like, we don't need this isn't one of those shows where you have to have a love
right
a love story to get teenage girls to watch it. You have Supergirl in it.
Yeah, season premiere, and I think we mentioned it a little bit last week. Season premiere of the of Supergirl this year, best audience performance in that time slot since Gossip Girl in 2008.
Hallelujah.
So it's going to be, I mean, I'm really surprised. I thought the budgets would go down, but that fight this week was, now their CGI.
How great was Metallo?
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of his makeup effects I didn't like.
Well, and, you know, the budget did go down because they couldn't convince Calista Flockhart to stick around to Canada.
Yeah.
So, like, that scene with her. And she's Aunt May all the way for me because, you know, there's the it's been common knowledge in Marvel that Aunt May knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. How could she not?
Right.
She's right there. All the stuff I read about Supergirl is like, the only suspension of disbelief I have to have with Cate Grant is that she doesn't know that Kara is Supergirl.
She's a journalist.
She obviously knows. She figured it out last season. In the first season.
And then when she goes in and she's giving Kara advice and says, own your power.
Right.
I mean, she's saying all of these different lines that clearly indicate that she really knows, but she's going to pretend she doesn't know because she was convinced that she doesn't know.
And I will give you another little thing. She switches back between calling her Kira and calling her Kara.
Yeah.
So depending on how she is feeling, like who she feels like she needs to give advice to, she will either talk to Kira or she will talk to Kara.
Mm-hmm.
And so she obviously knows. And Calista Flockhart, to go back to some 90s reference, has been like one of my reasons for watching TV since Ally McBeal. So, like, I've watched everything she's been on.
I have another 90s reference that goes back to one of these Rogues Gallery episodes from either last week or the week before. Was you were talking about Kevin Smith's episode of Supergirl?
Supergirl Lives. That's coming.
Supergirl Lives.
Uh-huh.
That's in. That could be in reference or an Easter egg to how he worked on Superman Lives.
In the '90s. It actually is. Yes.
Cage project.
I'm expecting the mechanical spider in that episode.
I have to tell you. I have this thing about Kevin Smith.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
Well,
oh boy.
You know, because I watch a lot of AMC because of The Walking Dead, and he has always got those commercials on for his dumb shows.
Comic Book Man.
What's the other one? Geeking Out.
I haven't seen it.
And I've just begun to dread him because he's so smug. And so I'm very worried.
So name-droppy?
Name-droppy and like...
Well, he directed an episode of
The Flash which was pretty solid.
And it was, yeah.
Oh my gosh, did a good job. That was a great one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, as a director, I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, I saw, you know...
And he was very quick to point out that the reason that episode came together so well is because he had a solid team around him. He was very quick to acknowledge everybody else he was working with. He didn't take a whole lot of credit for that episode.
Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing with directing television is, you don't show up on set and actually direct. You just make sure you have all the coverage, you know, because the actor, you know, you're not going to go in there and tell Grant Gustin how to play Barry Allen because he's been playing him for 2 years.
Right.
So you just kind of walk in, and because, you know, writers run the show. So it's like if he ever has an idea or something, there'd be a writer over there going,
we'd put that in the Bible, and that just doesn't work.
Yeah, you know, they haven't made any. They haven't really made that many Star Wars references yet. So we're leaving that over on Supergirl, which, by the way, is the only thing about that show that I don't like is they shoehorn in those Star Wars references on Supergirl. And I'm just like, there's always that guy.
So we got Chris and Sonya who just kind of been sitting here for a little bit, and I know Sonya, you've watched Supergirl this week, yes.
Yes, I did.
Okay, what do you think about what a favorite moment or
my favorite moment was when Kat was telling Supergirl that she was leaving the business, and I love that moment because you know it's because Calista Flockhart is leaving, and she says, Supergirl says, it's not going to be the same without you, and I felt that it was so real.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I'm still not going to tell you my real name.
Yeah,
yeah. Great line.
Yeah.
It's like so real. I was like, oh man, mm-hmm. This is gonna suck without her in the show.
Snapper Carr is gonna be.
He's fun. He's a fun spoil.
Yeah, it'll be a good dynamic.
He's a fun spoil.
Because I think that the dynamic is they're not gonna thank God they're not gonna try and duplicate the dynamic between Kat and Kara. Because they're going to have, like, he's going to be a lot more, I feel like, antagonistic to her.
He'll be more Perry White.
Yeah.
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 Which will be nice. Because she needs somebody to, like, butt heads with that's not going to sit her down and be like, now I'm going to give you the life lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
And I really like that character. I liked him. That was a funny moment.
Well, she's had the life lessons from Kat. Now she's going to get career lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good direction to take that character.
And John can give her the life lessons.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I just love that there's a show on TV with Martian Manhunter.
I know.
And he's actually, like, doing stuff. Like, he went into battle with Superman.
He's actually being Martian
Manhunter.
That
is as close as we may get. You know, on TV a Justice League.
It's a step. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
And I love how this show makes me feel. Like, I watch Walking Dead, and I'm on the edge of my seat, constantly just sweating things out. And all the shows I watch is just, like, sweating things out. But when I watch Supergirl, I'm just happy.
Yeah. Same thing.
Entertained show. There's nothing to sweat out, because everything's going to be fine.
Even if things are not fine right now.
Ice cream face.
I think everyone, when she said, I'm just happy, everyone had that mental image of ice cream face.
That's right.
Well, you know,
it just makes you happy.
Next week, when we have Linda Carter, my Wonder Woman, as the president.
God.
Oh my gosh. And then Dean Cain will come back. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the happiness just keeps coming. And for Superman to be two and done, I can't accept that. I'm sorry. I just can't.
I want him back. They're...
I don't care what anybody says. It's not two and done.
He's coming back. But for now. He's two and done.
Their interaction. I liked their interaction. And remember, I was super skeptical of that.
Oh, yeah.
Coming in based on that footage. You know, I was super skeptical, but their interaction. It's just he is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, skeptical.
Surprisingly
going in.
Good, yeah.
He was surprisingly good.
Also, because I wasn't here last week, can we just talk for 1 second about the total character shift that Cat Grant had when she was like, Clark Kent is here?
Yeah.
How's my hair? Do I have lipstick on my teeth? Oh my God, Clark Kent is here.
And by the way, is this the first time in any media that we've, like any filmed media, that we've had Clark Kent as a sex object?
Well,
as you know, like women like fawn over him?
No, because Kat was kind of like this.
She was like that on a TV show, wasn't
it? And Lois and Clark.
Mm-hmm. Lois and Clark, yeah.
She had a thing for Clark during that. And that's consistent with the comic books. So that goes back to the comic
book. She's always thought that, in the comic book, Kat Grant always thought that Clark was more
like.
But as far as film, because in the movies, he's always played as a bumbling.
Lana Lang liked Clark Kent.
Right, but she was from Smallville.
But she wasn't fawning all over him like little Minx Kat.
Yeah, but it was. And by the way, like Dustin was saying, he plays Clark Kent so well.
Yeah,
so well. I'm just. Yeah. I mean, we need to. Is there a petition online that I can sign? To get him into the movies? to get him well, a bigger...
There are people trying to say what that CW needs to put Hecklin in as he gets
he needs his own show.
And he gets the
Friday
show. There's
one day
slot.
Without a superhero show.
I mean, have a Friday. Plan for Friday night. We'll get to that later.
But okay, yes, so we'll get to that after the break. We're going to go ahead and take a break here real quick. When we get back, we will talk Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and Dustin's plan for Friday night on the CW when the Rogues Gallery continues right after this.
We are vengeance. We are the night. We are sci-fi for me.
I'm meteorologist Brian Busby. If you're traveling to a convention this weekend, especially if you're a cosplayer, it helps to know what the weather's going to be like. Rain and fur don't mix very well now, do they? That's why every week, Sci-Fi for Me gives you the weather forecast for every city hosting a convention. Those we have on our list, anyway. And that's worldwide, not just in the United States. It's part of our commitment to bring you content you won't find anywhere else. Just click on the Conventions tab over at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Behind-the-scenes tidbits, production notes, casting, news, games, toys, reviews, interviews, we've got a little bit of everything. Plus, you can sound off with your thoughts and comments, and who knows, you might be in our next episode. Star Wars news, we call it Salacious Crumbs, and you can check out new episodes only on Sci-Fi for Me TV.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
Hi, this is Dan Handley. If you're a true believer, you should be listening to our Marvel Podcast Level 117, a discussion of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, only on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
The only thing I was gonna add is that I'm really confused by the character of Snapper Carr, because I actually know the history of the character, and this is the first time in the history of the character he's ever been played by an actor in his 50s.
Yeah.
You know, that was another... Oh, go ahead, Tim.
Such an odd choice to make. I mean,
can you hear me breathe? If,
a little bit.
He's such a bizarre character anyway in the comics. Just if you look at the history of the character, and then it's like, and now he's going, okay, sure, whatever.
Well, it's a multiverse. Back on the Rogues Gallery, yeah. Jason Hodd here in studio with Dustin Adair and Kendall Sen, and we've got plenty of folks. Online, Tim Harvey, Ann Labs, Sonia Rodriguez, Jeff Hackworth, and Chris Jensen.
And maybe this half we'll let some of them talk.
Yeah. Okay, so let's all jump into the speed lab.
We all know while you're here.
On the Flash.
It's for me. I know. I'm that big of a narcissist.
We got Tom Cavanaugh back as Harry.
Missed him.
Wells.
I missed him.
Yeah, it's fun to have him back. And Jesse Quick now back with
powers.
Speed.
Because at some point they just start handing out Speed Force tokens.
Well, consider
who
how many speed
would have ever thought we'd get Jesse Quick.
I know, right?
Before we got Kid Flash.
No, we
not
got Kid
technically.
We got Kid Flash
not,
first.
Not technically, from a different timeline that was created by,
but you know what's
Barry
gonna happen.
Allen screwing
you
it all up.
Know what's going to happen? Wally is going to end up.
Yeah, he'll end up getting
going
it.
To alchemy and getting his powers.
I called
and
it.
Figured out
yep.
somehow to get jumpstart his powers and he becomes
that was
Kid Flash.
A very
that's
foolish
coming.
Thing for
wearing,
him to do this.
Wearing
week.
His yellow shirt.
Yes,
that he was wearing in the episode, and I was like, oh, the truck's about to hit him. And he's wearing his yellow shirt that matches his outfit when he's Kid Flash. And then Jesse saved him. And in the back of my mind, I knew Jesse was going to save him. But there was just that little fanboy in me that was like, oh my gosh, we're about to see Kid Flash.
Yeah.
But no.
Although, can I ask, I put this on the Facebook thing. I would love to not have another moment where character A gives heartfelt speech to character B to either convince them to do something or to not drop a tanker on a building. It was, I'm like, didn't we just see this two episodes ago from what's her face?
Well, haven't we seen this on all
to not watch the CW.
Just the episodes of The Flash? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, okay. It just struck me that the this season it's been two very close episodes and it's like, I don't know.
What other character did he talk down in this season of Flash?
No, not him.
Oh, okay.
His girlfriend now talked him, saying, "Barry, I know you can do it. You can, you know, blah, blah, blah." And then he did the same to Magenta. So right. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm sorry. It's just me.
No, it's something that actually, there's a lot of heartfelt speeches. This is a show that loves its heartfelt speeches. And yes, it
really
CW
does.
Thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, last episode we had a heartfelt speech. We had several heartfelt speeches last episode, the first episode of the season. I mean, it was about 2/3 of the episode was heartfelt speeches.
Okay.
And that's okay. That's kind of the Flash's thing. I mean, Barry Allen is one of those heartfelt speeches guy. You know?
Are they doing the Dawson's Creek formula?
Yes, they are.
I didn't watch it. So.
Yes, they are. On this week's very special episode of The Flash.
Yeah.
You know, it does feel like...
I know, because I got halfway through The Flash before I had to leave somewhere, and I'd already heard three heartfelt speeches.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I did. I'd heard... I go, man, they get really warm and fuzzy on this show. I may not be able to watch it.
I don't even watch The Flash, and I can recall at least four heartfelt speeches.
But and I will say that the reason why, because The Flash feels like it's getting a little long in the tooth, I don't know, I feel like they keep going back to the same. I know, but it feels like we're going back to the same well so many times, keep creating alternate timelines.
Well, because it's the big problem he created.
Well,
yeah.
Or well, see, are the we thing going back though, to the same wells?
The thing that it is.
I just put that on the tee, and I said, swing away, buddy. Like Joaquin Phoenix and Signs, swing away.
They actually have addressed this because, you know, the whole time travel, let's just go fix things has actually now been pretty much essentially shut down within the confines of the show.
Yeah, because he said last week.
Well, at least for now.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That's like saying Superman won't be back.
The time travel will come back because it's the Flash's secret superpower that he, you know, it just not having a secret, but I mean, it's the one that, you know.
Yeah.
We have to do
it. I was
going to
say, it's not a secret.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the power you can't just sit there and go, I'm never going to use it again because that just doesn't work. But two things. First of all, Barry Allen has become the DC television's Tony Stark. He is the responsible for all that is wrong with the world. which I'm not sure how I feel about, because that's getting a little old. But at the same time, they did manage by doing this to get rid of the particle accelerator villain of the week idea. Mm-hmm. Now, admittedly, they just changed it to a different kind of, you know, thing. But at least this time, you know, the particle accelerator was Wells' fault. And in pretty much every universe, it was Wells' fault.
Right.
So at least we've shifted blame a little bit, I guess. So it's, I don't know that it necessarily makes it completely fresh. They're still getting, we're still stuck with the villain of the week thing, which.
It actually though, but it feels the villain of the week that we've gotten so far feels like it's building to something though.
By the way, is that Tobin Bell doing the voice of Dr. Alchemy?
I think so.
I believe so, and if so, that's just I could listen to Tobin Bell talk all day.
I think it is. Yeah, but we got
Malfoy is still being Malfoy.
Yeah.
Instead of Alan, I wish you would have said Potter, like. 8 times in the episode.
Well,
I keep hearing him say Potter. I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you think that Julian's going to figure out Barry's secret at some point here very soon?
He's too smart not
Barry
to.
Everybody knows. Everybody
except
knows.
Iris.
No, Iris knows.
That
now.
Was the thing for the longest time.
Oh,
everybody
know,
knew
yeah.
but Iris.
Yeah.
I'm half convinced at this point he is alchemy.
Oh, you think? Well, yeah, because Julian Albert,
okay.
And Alchemy is actually Albert Desmond. And there's been some theories that it's going to be who that is.
Okay, so here's the reason why, and the reason why I think it's a bad idea. One, it's conservation of characters. I mean, this is a thing that happens all over the, any kind of fiction, So that's but it's also so obvious. I mean, if it turns out that he is actually Alchemy, I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, the other thing too is how many times in this show have we had, Harrison Wells, he's on the team, he's an ally. Oh, he's the bad guy. Last year, Jay Garrick, he's an ally, he's on the team. Oh, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
How many times are we going to do this?
Well, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's part of it because it's.
You almost expected at this
point. He's already in an antagonistic relationship with Barry. I mean, it's not like, there's like, we're so close, we're buddies, we're pals. It's like, no, I hate you, you're horrible. Dear Barry Allen, I hope you die in a fire. That's every sentence. That's the subtext.
Which actually makes me wonder if they're going to flip that this year. If they're going to. They've set up our expectations that every year one of the allies on the team turns into the bad guy. Maybe they subvert that this year, and Julian Albert is a red herring, and he's not going to be the bad guy. He's not going to turn into Alchemy. Somebody else's Alchemy, and this is just a misdirect.
I hope it could very easily be a misdirect, and I think it should be, but. The subversion is going to happen with Caitlin because we're already seeing her. We saw last episode that she's manifesting her killer frost powers.
Yeah.
She's going to be our subversion of the villain role. So.
You know
she
what?
Almost
subversion.
Let her powers slip with Jesse in that heartfelt speech.
Heartfelt
speech.
You know what? Subversion, villain subversion. I wish they would do more of.
What's that?
The Snape. I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate you. You obviously hate me. Or no, it's you obviously hate me. You obviously hate me. You obviously hate me. And then, no, I have been trying to help you this whole time.
I've just been mean
about
that.
Just don't like you very much, but I'm on your side.
Well, and maybe we get some of that with Julian.
I don't know who that is. I don't watch the show.
That's Draco. That's Draco.
Oh, okay. Great. That would be a callback. just in my brain. I don't even watch the show. They'd be like, oh, he turned out to be a good guy. I'd be like, see, this is what I wanted.
Yes.
I miss the interaction between our primary characters from the first season and a half. The Wells, Barry Allen, Caitlin and Cisco.
It's coming back.
Say Ringo.
It's coming back.
I miss that interaction.
Ringo's his stage name.
Yeah.
When he's in the band.
When he's in Gotham.
Well, Barry messed up the timeline. I mean, they're not gonna be gelling like they were.
Yeah, they're gonna be some consequences.
That was a fun thing when Wells came back and he just automatically knew. They're like, there's some things different here. He's like, you went back in time again.
Yeah.
I told you to never go back. And I was just like, yes, he's back. Yeah. Yes.
Which is more of that, time travel is on the back burner for a while.
Yeah.
For the story. So,
but unfortunately, if that's on the back burner, we're going to get things like Magenta.
But see, the funny thing.
I didn't enjoy Magenta.
Well, she was a one-off. And just going to, Magenta was a functional character in that we got Jesse using her powers. That's what this whole episode was about.
That girl did a good job.
She did a fine job. It's
a good job.
It wasn't so much that, just as, like, I found the character boring.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those things where, at some point, okay, there's metahumans running around all over the place, and they're like, I can't figure out how this happened, that this light pole came through here. There's no fingerprints. The pressure had to be applied by this many tons, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you're still looking for a human? What? No, you're trying to figure out a logic. No, somebody has powers.
Well, and we said that we were going to let everybody else talk for a
little bit. I'm trying. You guys, you got to understand, you guys got to be fast.
So,
and then pause.
Because I didn't talk at all before. Kendall, the reason why you think she's boring is that she's boring in the comic, too. Magenta was a really weird choice for.
I don't remember her from the comic at all.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She was a Teen Titans comic in the Teen Titans for several years, and she's nobody cares about Magenta. No offense to the Magenta fans out there.
I mean, in real life too, nobody actually cares about the color of Magenta.
It's almost like
I will tell you that every time you say Magenta, I keep wanting to start singing Science Fiction Double Feature.
Isn't
Blue's Clues, dude?
Isn't Gem and the Holograms logo the color Magenta?
Okay, now I want the Rocky Horror Flash crossover.
I avoided talking about John and Chu earlier. I'm not going to start this happy place.
Okay. That would be insane.
Yeah. Next week we're gonna get Mirror Master finally showing up on The Flash. And have you guys seen the photographs of Mark Hamill's next appearance on the show?
No, I have not, but I'm looking forward to it.
Pinstripe suit, Tommy gun, different color hair.
Huh.
And his face is rather pasty-looking. The trickster of Earth 3 bears a remarkable resemblance to a different clown prince of crime. And it's going to be so
much fun. Who I did a crossover cosplay with the Penguin.
Saw parts of that. That looked pretty cool. But yeah, Mark Hamill. Is going to come back as the trickster. Remember what I said? I want the episode. John Wesley Shipp and Amanda Pays and Alex Dyer and Mark Hamill and all of the gang back in one episode. And we've got photographs with at least two of them.
Don't tease. It's not nice.
Kendall is delicate.
I'm a delicate flower.
He doesn't deserve to be hurt again.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of delicate flowers, let's talk about Arrow. I guess we have to.
Yeah, all right. I did not watch it, so I will bow out.
I haven't seen it this week either. So
what is everyone Arrow is
bailing on Arrow? Everyone has bailed on Arrow.
I think the writers are trying to figure out what Arrow is. They are definitely trying to go back to the first season, but this is the first week where Curtis Holt actually suits up in costume as Mr. Terrific for the first time, and he actually looks pretty good as Mr. Terrific. And you know, he's got the tea mask on his face, and he's got the Fair Play jacket, and they've got an in-show explanation for why he's got Fair Play sprawled all over his sleeves, because that's the slogan for one of his favorite wrestlers. So this is merchandise jacket. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a collector's items type of thing. So he's wearing that, and looks pretty good. And that's pretty much the essence of the This episode this week, it was...
Arrow is pretty people doing things.
Yeah, and it was, you know, this...
On my Google info, whenever I click on it, mm-hmm. it says, whenever I'm, you know... What is this week's episode about? This week's episode is about pretty people doing things.
Well, and the moral of the story this week was teamwork. And the leader is responsible for everything that happens with the team. You remember in Star Trek VI when they put Kirk on trial and he said, as captain, I'm responsible for the conduct of the crew under my command.
Yes.
That was this episode. The whole thing was about Oliver having to take his lumps for his team's screw-ups.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides, both as mayor and as the Green Arrow. That was the whole thing. And we got a new villain what's
the
his name
puppy
now?
Master.
Well, he falls into a vat of chemicals, and he comes back out, and he's super strong. He doesn't feel any pain. But he was done by the end of the episode because...
So not Solomon
gone
Grundy.
After
no.
42
well, we've had
minutes,
Solomon
Grundy.
We got Solomon Grundy in the first season, I think. He's still
I
out there.
Remember, I was a late joiner
that's right,
to
that's
Arrow.
Right, that's right. Solomon Grundy, I think, came in second or third season of Green Arrow. Green Arrow. We didn't get any Prometheus. Well, he's going by the name Green Arrow. It's just the show is not going to change
the name.
The show is
still Arrow.
Yeah. All right.
So that's that. No, nobody has anything to say about Arrow?
No.
It's a show that's on.
It's a show that's on. Yeah. I don't think
it's on my DVR.
I don't think it's going to go very far past.
Do you think it'll have another season?
I think it may have six seasons. I think that's it.
We're in five
six
right now.
Six seasons and a movie?
No movie. Well,
I think it can go longer, but they're going to have to finally get over this, you know, all the, you know, the flashback model and all the stuff that is just so played out for this show. And quite frankly, there's an element of fun in the comic between there's so much angst. It is the angstiest show
since Dawson's
just
Creek.
Reason for it. It's just, yeah.
I don't want to
no
wait.
Reason, you know, there should be a little bit of fun in here. And there is.
Well, I think one of the things that that I like about what I've seen so far this year with Arrow, talking about, you know, getting back to the first season, is Felicity's character is much more like she used to be before Alicity happened.
Before she cut her hair and really got into Ben
and slept with Pacey.
What?
Oh, I'm still on Dawson's Creek.
Oh, yeah. I was doing actually Felicity.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was something. But you know, Felicity feels like Felicity again, which is a step in the right direction. And Tim, to your point, producers have confirmed that this is the final season of flashbacks every episode. Next season we'll still get flashbacks, but they'll be selective and they'll be different characters depending on the story. We might get a flashback for a character, but it's not going to be every episode. So they're going away from that model.
At some point, if this show really wants to have anything more than a 6-year run, we've got to get to the point where it's Green Arrow and Black Canary as a couple who fight crime with their buddies. I mean, because it's, and you can actually shift from the doom and gloom. I mean, okay, we've been talking about forever that this is the Batman show for the CW.
Yeah.
And at some point we, you know, they have to find a way to start transitioning away from that because it's played out. And I think that we're far from the only people who think it's played out.
Well,
You're our ratings guy. How's Arrow doing in the ratings?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I haven't looked at that this week, but it feels. I mean, that's a really good question.
It's still very popular.
You can talk amongst yourself. Let me look that up real quick.
Well, you know,
to me, it's ranked on the convention. Fifth out of these five.
It's fifth out of five for you.
Well, okay, maybe fourth.
And Jeff's a Nielsen house.
Well, see, the
he lives in a Nielsen house.
Well, the thing is, you know, you look at Arrow, you look at Legends of Tomorrow. Those are the two shakiest.
Yeah, they're the outliers
shows. Although for different reasons, Arrow because it's just gotten grim and it doesn't know how to have any fun with itself. Legends of Tomorrow is shaky because it's time travel, the whole timey-wimey thing. If they misstep just once, the show's done, and they've come close. I mean, this first episode when they came back, you know, kidnapping Einstein to prevent the Nazis from having a nuclear bomb in World War II in 1942 as opposed to 1945, and it goes off in New York City and all this, you know, it ended up working out okay, but.
Now I have to.
I wanted them to spend episodes finding the team.
Yeah.
Instead of just a quick montage.
That was too quick. But you got to play you got to get that out of the way so you can bring in the Justice Society, which is what we did this week. Mm-hmm. And now that's going to be the thing for a while.
Real quick, guys. First of all, two things I have to mention here. First of all, I did not see this week's episode as I discussed with these guys. It's a show that I can't watch around the kids because it's not as kid friendly as say Supergirl or Flash, and also I missed the entire first season. I know it's bad. I do a podcast
I think you could go the entire entire run of the series and you don't have to have season one in order to know what's going on.
Well, like what I want to know is because I remember when it spun off, I just forgot to record it once, and then I forgot to record it twice. Then I just missed the whole darn thing.
Right.
But where are the people that were? Where's Captain Cold and where's Hot Girl and where's? Why is the Atom the only person left? I'm so confused.
Hawkman and Hot Girl went off to find themselves.
Went off to find themselves, figuratively or literally?
Both, because you know they died and come back a couple of different times, so they needed to figure themselves out. So they left the team to go spend time together. They went on sabbatical.
Okay.
Captain Cold is dead.
What? He sacrificed himself.
Yes.
He died a hero.
He blew up the mechanism.
He's dead for now.
He's dead for now.
He had to go film Prison Break.
Because of Prison Break.
Yeah,
the Time Masters, where the Time Masters' big, massive control all of everything facility, Captain Cold blew that up.
Okay.
And as the
so there's no more Time Masters.
As the podcast resident gay, I read the gay blogs, and they have confirmed, Queerty has confirmed that Wentworth Miller will be back on The Flash as a villain.
Yes.
As one of The Flash's villains this season.
But not on Legends of Tomorrow.
Well, he could come back to Legends of Tomorrow, but he's got, I think he's
And he left to
the...
go and film Resident Evil. He's.
I thought
well,
he
he's also doing. He did Prison they Break. Did the Prison Break revival reboot.
Yeah,
well,
most of the originals are still there.
Okay,
yeah, you got Ray. You got Stein and Jax.
Yeah,
got,
Stein and Jax are still.
Sarah.
You have
Rip Hunter,
Sarah.
Mick. I mean, pretty much all of them. We're going to get a new Vixen this year because she's going to carry over from JSA.
The only ones we're missing are Rip Hunter, Captain Cold. And the two Hawks.
Okay. That's just, it took me a while to catch up with it.
Yeah, but that's four characters out of this ensemble cast. It's a pretty sizable amount to
It's a decent percentage.
Yeah.
Especially when two of them had wings and one of them I knew from The Flash.
I still really like Stein.
The answer to the ratings question?
Yes.
Here's the rating, the fun with ratings for season 5. Of Arrow, we are looking at no more. We're looking at under 2 million viewers
total, or the demographic, or the 18 to 39, or whatever.
Under 2 million viewers per episode.
Is that
so? That's total viewers.
Plus 3? Live plus 7?
That is. Let's see. That's live.
Okay.
Okay, so now Supergirl, live, for the first two episodes, 3 million and two and over 2.5 million, and that's live. For The Flash, 3 million live, 5 million plus 7.
So the Flash is still doing. So Flash and Supergirl are our torchbearers here.
Yeah.
Coming in roughly
half of the viewership watching live for the other shows.
Now, how about Legends?
Legends.
Because it seemed like it was not doing well.
You know what? I have such a weird feeling about Legends right now because. The first episode was so rushed.
Are you talking about the pilot or the first episode of the new season?
The first episode of the new season.
Okay.
Because everybody's trapped in the past, and now we will immediately find them. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
That's not much of a trap, actually, if you're, we can find you in 10 minutes of screen time. it's doing roughly the same numbers as Arrow is.
Okay.
But I also think that that's probably going to be the case overall because it's kind of done. It hasn't broken 3 million viewers except for the pilot.
How's Gotham doing, Tim?
Oh God, do we really want to know? Are you sure?
We need to know if we're still going to be watching it next.
All right, we will go there. but while I'm doing that real quick, the second episode of Legends, it felt like half the characters were out of character.
Yeah. You're talking about this season?
Let's do it. Yeah, we spent the whole first season, resolving Stein's arrogance, and then immediately, beginning of this season, it's like, oh, let's make Stein an arrogant jerk again. and then resolve it in an episode. It's like, what's going on?
And they're struggling to find a leader too, and struggling to find a candidate to be that perfect leader.
Well, and Rip Hunter's going to be back at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, he left that pretty open-ended.
Yeah.
And back in time, they did tend to respect elders and doctors more.
Yeah. But that's fine. It's just the internal character of Stein himself, where last season we had that whole thing where he and Jack bonded, and they had that moment where it's like, yes, I can be an arrogant jerk. I won't be an arrogant jerk anymore. And then, hey, you're in charge now. I'm an arrogant jerk. So the Gotham question is, Gotham, season 3, almost 4 million, 3.5, 3.19, 342, 332.
Wow, doing pretty well.
That's actually better than I expected.
But that's a network. That's
also...
It's on Fox.
It's playing on a different channel. So. Yeah.
It doesn't have to go
but
by
it's
CW
competing
standards.
With Dancing with the Stars and The Voice and other heavy hitter shows, too.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not competing with Dancing with the Stars. These are not to the same audience.
I know. every week, it's competing against that, but I mean, what's Supergirl up against? I mean, Supergirl's up against the same thing.
Well, Supergirl's up against Gotham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but you're also looking at really that weird thing that you see with some networks where people are still going to look at the CW as being the teenager network. You are not going to go wandering over to the CW unless you're already inclined to go wander over to the CW.
Which is why Supergirl did not work on CBS.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so Dustin, your theory about Friday.
Yeah.
Oh. What's your plan for Friday, and then we will head out for the evening.
I was thinking about this, and I'm sorry that I missed it. We've got our straight up optimistic superhero show.
Yes.
We've got our gritty dark superhero show. We've got our sciencey superhero show, and we've got our team superhero show.
All right.
We need a supernatural superhero show. And Constantine didn't work, but I think I have something that will.
Say Swamp Thing.
Does it involve brothers driving in a car?
Shut your mouth!
Monsters?
Shut your mouth! Raven, the series.
That'd be interesting.
Oh, okay. When you were saying it's supernatural stuff, I was thinking Zatanna.
Because
I've got the proposal in my drawer somewhere.
I've got the proposal for Santana in my drawer, too.
Well, think about it.
No, not Santana. Zatanna.
They're
Santana's a completely different person. Yeah.
Just this week, DC started Raven's own standalone series.
I have no idea what that is.
And it would be perfect for TV. Raven Darkholm raised in an alternate dimension by mystics. When she turns 15, she's told, oh, by the way, all these peaceful, loving people, we've been really raising you to kill your father. Oh, by the way, he's a monster hell demon from the hell, which is hell.
Yeah.
And she freaks out, and she hops dimensions back to Earth. Oh, but they didn't mention that waiting for her on Earth is a cult that's devoted to her father, the Cult of Blood, who wants to kill her. Not only that, but now the Azerothians are after her, trying to get her back. And so what does she do? She moves back in with her aunt and starts going to high school. That's literally what the comic book is about, and that would be the best
TV
show.
At some point, though, if you're doing Raven, at some point you bring in the Titans.
No,
and it becomes a team show at
the moment.
But the Titans is already a show, right? Or did they get rid of
it? No, they never did it.
No, that,
they never
did that it. Okay.
Because TNT, I think it was TNT, got a new president, got a new network president.
And nixed
that because they're going in they're going in the crime thriller direction. They didn't want to do the Titans. So Titans is gone.
But I think that's a loss leader because Raven as a character, she's basically the fish out of water. She could be a it would be it would almost she could create a team out of her high school friends, just like Buffy did. I think it would be great. This girl.
So
this
you
want to
turn
yeah,
you want to turn but you want to turn Raven into
though,
kind of a Buffy.
But if you do Raven, the expectation at some point she's going to have to come up with. She put together the Teen Titans in their current incarnation.
Yeah,
the George Perez Marv Wolfman
and
reboot.
That's and the thing
see,
is
okay,
is that that go, what Dustin is describing is and nothing wrong with it, other than it treads on my Wolfman Perez canon because she wasn't that, like she wasn't peppy, she wasn't outgoing.
Well, that was before
she would have been the Willow of the
you're talking about the
Buffy.
Yeah, but he's talking about
the new one, right?
New,
and that's not
no,
that's
and
not
I'm,
my
I'm,
Raven.
I'm imagining
that's my,
what
not my
I
Raven.
Am imagining so is yeah, Raven Simone. What I'm imagining, just I mean, she's basically the goth hippie chick.
Mm-hmm.
She's been raised in this mystical community that's all about focusing love and whatever so that they could destroy this demon and using and then but now she's got to live in the real world.
But, well, and that would
but
be
you
a
know
good...
who did that better was the animated Teen Titans show.
The
original. You know what this is? This is the prequel to the Young Justice live action show.
Ooh, there you go.
Because
in
the course of the episode, she starts connecting with the folks who will be the core team of Young Justice.
But no, see, no, I am.
And then you.
No, I am pitching this as a solo Raven show.
Except
you know,
except Raven.
Shut
is
your
not.
Mouth, Jason. I am pitching this as a solo Raven show. It is
that.
Raven learning to use her powers for what she wants to do, starting to realize that she's got to fight not only her dark side, not uh-huh. only where she was raised, not uh-huh. only the people that are after her from Earth, uh-huh. but maybe even her father someday.
Yeah.
And also kind of thinking that she wants to go to the prom with that soccer player.
But at the same time, though, given that Legends of Tomorrow is not going to last four seasons, no. by the time you establish Raven and you give her two or three seasons, it's time to form the team because the team show will be gone at that point.
Yeah.
And then Raven can either do Raven leads into Young Justice or Teen Titans, which is essentially the same kind of thing. And that gives you room for Zatanna.
And I would love
she could
I can
fight
just
Frankenstein
I
and
want,
the Creature Commandos
I want Zatanna.
Or Frankenstein and well, Shade.
I would love it like you could have great little, you know, little hints to maybe I'd love for her to meet the other Teen Titans along the way, just not become part of her show.
Right. I know it's
kind of like a Smallville
idea, yeah.
Where they popped in, you know, and mm-hmm, stuff like that. Right. You get heavy Easter eggs and stuff like that. Not like Flash, where it's just like they instantly got integrated into the group,
mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
So I understand where you're going with that, but if I had to put a show,
well,
on,
we've already got Kid Flash,
So if you look at the CW's lineup, you have your team show, blah blah blah, all those different things, but they're all kind of a knockoff of what is going on in their cinematic universe. So I think, you know, I mean, because it's like Arrow is a knockoff of Batman, you know, and it's or at least tonally, that's right. What they're going for there. And, you know, I mean, Legends of Tomorrow is basically like, well, we can't really do all the big superheroes, so we'll just do these second and third tier heroes and blah, blah, blah. What about a Donna Troy? Wonder Woman is coming out, blah, blah, blah. What about a Donna Troy on Friday nights?
Which version of Donna Troy?
I don't know if it would sell as easily.
My only shows. Well, just it's Wonder Girl, you know, not Donna Troy, but Wonder Girl.
Well, then okay.
same
which,
thing.
Which
yeah.
Wonder Girl?
See again, I'm gonna have to go back to my childhood. I'd have to do Donna.
Yeah,
but then that could also be fun.
It could be the same thing he's talking about.
You have two different shows on the CW. One focuses with different dimensions, and one focuses on different time periods. They could do a great crossover episode where there's a convergence of time and dimension that creates Wonder Girl, who is
5-hour crossover,
is what Wonder Girl essentially became in the comic books, was the nexus of all time, space, and dimensional whatever, right. You know, and then throw her into high school. That would be fun.
Well, this nexus of time, space, dimension is about tapped out. Closing. We need to wrap up tonight. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. If you have theories or comments or suggestions, ideas of anything that you want to share with us regarding the DC television shows, you can send us an email, roguesgallery@sci-fi-for-me.com. And, of course, you can leave a comment on all our social media and join us for another episode discussion next week. I want to thank everybody who joined us for this one. Ann Labs.
Good night, America.
Chris Jensen, who was our official show observer tonight.
Silent observer. Thank you.
And Sonia Rodriguez.
Bye-bye.
Jeff Hackworth.
Off to the speed lab.
Tim Harvey.
Always a pleasure, guys.
And here in the studio, Kendall Sen.
Can I now be referred to as Zatanna's dominated love slave?
Actually, we are in the process, coming out of our discussion on H2O, we are in the process of developing Buckaroo Banzai nicknames for everyone.
Oh.
So, at some point, you will be John something. we're going to fill in the blank on everybody. And Dustin Adair, also here in the studio.
I'm sorry that I breathed it into the microphone all night. I feel like I Donald Trumped you all. I'm sorry.
And my name is Jason Hunt. Thanks very much for joining us. On behalf of all of us here at Sci-Fi For Me, we will be back with another episode next week.
This has been a presentation of Sci-Fi For Me Radio. Copyright 2016 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.